Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
G&D with you on The Fan. A special greetings and salutations to our friends in Richmond, 910 The Fan, down in the capital of the Commonwealth. Always appreciate you guys checking out the show. This year's radio program, we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Reminder, Nick Shook joins us in about 24 minutes to break down his seven teams, most specifically ours here in Washington, that he believes are the most improved heading into next season. It'll be a good conversation. We'll have him on in about, as I said, 20 minutes. Topic of the moment, though, NBA draft is tomorrow. There is a lot of movement at this point. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of uncertainty. Most of it surrounds Ace Bailey, quite frankly. But just looking at everybody's consensus, there are guys in this draft, and there are every year, it's all relative scale, right, where you find out this guy's the consensus top pick. It's not even on your radar anymore. But as you start to do the thing that I do, I don't speak for you guys as fans, but you watch. You remember some of your own college basketball watching this year. I don't know how much you guys did or didn't. I don't watch near the same as I used to, quite frankly. I used to study it starting in September, October to find Calipari's one and done or find the kid at Duke or whoever to see if it makes sense for the Wizards or whatever. And I became obsessed with the way I'd look at quarterbacks in college football. But going through it now as I kind of do, you read, you study, you learn, you figure out as much as you can. They're inevitably guys that you like and guys that you just kind of go, I'm not really sure. Right? As you kind of look at that list and it develops and it sort of lines up with some of the mock drafts, et cetera. And I want to bring you guys that as well here in a few moments. But first, I think we got him. Let's bring on our pal, Grant Paulson. Buddy, what's up?
Greetings.
Hey, man.
From Ashburn, Virginia. How are you, pal?
I'm doing very well. Ripped through the first hour. I didn't know how to say what you were doing, and I don't know what we're supposed to say, what we're not supposed to say. I will say that there are people that I think were violating the rules who were just casually tweeting about what was happening. But anyway, I'll leave it to you. You can give as much a little information as you'd like.
Yeah, I had a lovely appointment. I had a nice conversation out here that hopefully will benefit our listening audience in the weeks and the months and the dozens of shows ahead, which is nice. I had a lovely three-course lunch.
That's
as well.
Really what I was curious about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, when you sit down and there's like a menu in front of you and it's a prefix with options and you're choosing between, for lunch, mind you, not dinner.
Sure, sure.
Salad or soup.
Soup.
Then you get to chicken or steak.
Steak. I'm
then
so good
it's like,
this.
Do you want mashed potatoes,
yes,
or some type of a vegetable or both? And then the grand finale. Again, this was lunch or dinner? Which one was it?
Lunch.
Yeah, it was lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The last option on the menu, on the prefixed menu, was carrot cake or chocolate cake.
We don't need the game show music, by the way, to figure out what Grant chose. We
right,
don't.
You don't.
Right.
Well, co-pair Grant, a little different than, you know, have a field day Grant,
oh,
I would
good
say.
For you.
Yeah, so we behaved ourselves as best we could, but the meat, the vegetables, the proteins were delicious. But yeah, I had a wonderful lunch and got to catch up with a bunch of buddies, a little homework and assignment during the show, unfortunately. But I'm happy to be here, and I know you're talking NBA draft. We're one day away, man.
Yeah,
the Wizards on the clock at number six tomorrow. I'm getting excited about this because unlike last year's draft, which stunk, I actually think this year's draft is pretty good. And I remember talking to somebody in the Wizards front office going back a couple of months ago and getting to ask them about this year's draft. And I was like, compare it to last year's. And they're like, it's way better. I was like, okay, so it's great. And they're like, well, it's really good. They said next year's draft is great.
Mm.
And I had couldn't go through all the names. I'm not up on next year's draft, but essentially this person who for a living evaluates NBA players says basically that next year's draft's going to be an all-timer and kind of an industry changer. This year's draft is really, really good, and it completely pummels last year's draft. So if you're a Wizards fan, even though they picked sixth, even though you and I moped about the fact that they didn't get Cooper Flagg in the number one overall selection, I actually think this is going to work out okay. And the way things are trending, Danny, Ace Bailey, possibly, Trey Johnson, possibly. If they end up with one of those two players, I get the sense Wizards fans are going to be pretty excited. There's actually going to be buzz coming out of this, even outside the top five.
Yeah, there might be some Burbank coming out of it. But I've got to send you in our little thank you, our little chat here. There's a profile that we were talking about in the first at the top of the show of Ace Bailey from a guy named Kevin Armstrong from NJ.com, and it's about who's advising him, and it doesn't sound great, my friend. It's not one of those, this agent's playing 3D chess. It's a guy that's not a certified agent, that's kind of making it up as he goes, it sounds like. It's not a terribly flattering profile. So, and we talked about Ace Bailey. Undeniably talented. Like, jaw-dropping talent. But, is this immaturity? Or is this, I'm so special that I get to dictate where I want to end up and pull all these strings and levers. Not because I'm again, playing 3D chess, but because I think I'm better than this whole process, and I'm not coachable, and I'm already got, you know, 1 foot out the door, 2 minutes into my first press conference. I'm looking for the next team. Who knows how to evaluate it, honestly. But again, the talent is jaw-dropping on Ace Bailey. He's the most intrigue-filled player in this draft, I think, without a doubt.
To me, this is what the Wizards and every other team have to figure out. Is this a guy that doesn't want to play in a couple of places trying to manipulate the process, which, while annoying, is not a deal breaker that he's going to end up being, you know, easy to work with and a good teammate? Or is this a problem child who's showing his true colors, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've got to figure out. What I actually want to know from our listeners, and maybe you can give me the pulse based on what you've gathered today, is what would people feel good about and what would people not like? So tomorrow the Wizards pick sixth. If blank happens, you're giddy. Like, what's the best case? And then if blank happens, you're upset. What's the worst case? And you could call in now at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Danny, for me, my one seed, as you know, in this class is Trey Johnson out of Texas. I would like him to be the pick.
I love
But
his
I would
game,
also
man.
Feel really good about Bailey, and I get your reservations. I have them too. You know that I just love people that follow the rules. That's kind of what I want in my life. It's just someone who doesn't need to reinvent the rules, that doesn't need to live their own way outside of the parameters and cut corners. And so the Bailey thing gives me great pause. I've just taken it as I've perceived it all along to be he doesn't like 3 through 5. He likes 6 through 8 a lot more. He wants to play in Washington or Brooklyn or one of those three teams starting at 6. And this is his way to get there. So I'm kind of giving him a pass. And I still think the value at 6 is significant for a guy that may have been the second or third best player in the class.
Yeah, so he is the ultimate eye of the beholder guy. I feel like we've talked a lot about him already on the show, but that's the whole league is talking about it. Every fan's talking about it. Where does he end up, right? The various mocks don't know, certainly. I've seen him as high as 4 and as low as 11 or 12, just because someone's going to go, it's worth the risk at this point, right? And maybe that's at 6. But he's the ultimate get-you-fired guy to me. Right, where if you take him, it might just blow up in your face. It might also blow up in your face when he goes one, you know, pick behind you and he's averaging 25, 5, and 7 as a rookie somewhere. You know, I mean, but you watch some of his highlights, GP. You watch some of those games at Rutgers, which they're not winning, by the way, which is stunning to me, even still. And it's probably unfair that I put more blame on him than I do on Dylan Harper for those things, a guy that's going to go second overall. But you just go, I can't believe the degree of difficulty these shots he's hitting. But then the flip side is, why are we taking that degree of difficulty shot against, like, Minnesota? Why can't we get a good look against Northwestern? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a hard guy to evaluate. But for me, the thing I'd be thrilled with is somehow, some way, one of these, Trey Johnson. I combined VJ Edgecombe and Trey Johnson, which would be an incredible
That's
player.
A really good prospect, yeah. By the way.
If Edgecombe somehow falls down, I don't think he will, but if somehow he does, I love him so much. If Trey Johnson is there at 6 and they take him, I'd be thrilled with either of those two outcomes. I certainly don't think Edgecombe's likely. I think he's going 3, but just in case, I'd be thrilled with that. I'd be okay with Malawach because it would tell me that they've got a plan. It would tell me that they know that what this is. This isn't the get your superstar just yet. This is the we're going to have another useful piece next to Alex Saar, have a defensive rim running, kind of shot blocking guy that can shoot better than people probably realize. He didn't get to do much of that at Duke with all their offensive weapons.
Well, let me just jump in on that really quick.
Go.
Isn't it a little bit annoying that last year was for that?
Yes.
I mean, what you just went through,
yes, it is.
And I get that that's where you lost out on the lottery and that's where you didn't get the number one overall pick. But isn't it frustrating,
yes,
that you sat through the season you did and you did the tanking thing for that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to do a little bit better than that. Like, I am swinging, even if I swing and miss on Ace Bailey, for the fences a little bit. I need someone who can create their own shot
and
knock down shots from the perimeter like Johnson. Why isn't Trey Johnson better liked? Why isn't that guy going, you know, 3 or 4? Maybe he does ultimately, I guess. But right now it seems like his projection is right around 5 and maybe he falls to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing something?
Like, there,
to me,
yes,
that's the guy.
Yeah, I like – so, and here's what I'd be disappointed with. Con Knipple. Nothing wrong with that guy. I think he's going to have a 10-year NBA career. And as we were talking about this right before you came on, there's always guys in a draft where I fully recognize that guy should go in the top 10. I fully recognize that's a good player that's going to have a good NBA career. I don't like it. It's not that exciting to me, right? I'd be excited at Trey Johnson. I'd be excited at Edgecombe. I'd be over the moon if Dylan Harper somehow happens or if they swing a trade. But Knipple, I think, will be a good player, a good piece, and plus, at a minimum, fine because of the shooting ability. So there's a high floor there. But he'll be able to create a bit offensively, do a couple different things. I think he's fine. I think he's even pretty good. It just doesn't excite me. So I don't like him, but it doesn't mean I'm saying he doesn't belong in the top 10, if that makes sense. But that's the guy that I'm worried about, is that the Charlotte passes and Utah takes one of the, you know, either Trey Johnson or Ace Bailey, and then they're left at 6 with a guy that, again, will be a helpful piece, but I'm with you on more fence swinging.
The Wizards, ahead of tomorrow's draft, are actually swinging a trade right now, and this is a massive development into 106.7 The Fan. So let's get this breaking news to you right now via Toby Altizer.
Massive trade for the Washington Wizards ahead of tomorrow's NBA draft. Jordan Poole on the move to the New Orleans Pelicans. He joins Sadiq Bey in the number 40 overall pick. Going to the New Orleans Pelicans, coming back to the Washington Wizards is C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second-round pick. Again, the Wizards trading Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick to the New Orleans Pelicans. The Wizards getting back C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second-round pick. I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on The Fan.
Jordan Poole traded by the Wizards.
Whoa.
Poole, who's got a 4-year, $123 million contract. He is set to make $31.8 million against the cap this year and $34 million against the cap next year. Not a free agent until two more seasons from now, is on the move. So the Wizards get out of that money, and they bring in C.J. McCollum, who is a veteran and one of the true good guys in the NBA. Kelly Olynyk, who, when I hear his name, I think about the back-breaking performance he delivered to beat Washington.
Yeah.
With the Boston Celtics in Game 7 on the verge of the Eastern Conference Finals, going back to the Beal Wall days. So Kelly Olynyk coming to D.C., and a future second-round pick, Danny Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and pick number 40 from Washington in New Orleans.
Okay, so just reading through this really, really quickly. McCollum, I believe, is on an expiring deal or close to it. So I think that's what this is about more than anything else. You're rearranging deck chairs there. Poole, more dynamic. A bit more exciting, a bit more mercurial. McCollum, steady Eddie, really nice player, good veteran, a solid, solid piece. But I think he's entering the last year of a $63 million plus deal that he's owed. So just over $30 million bucks, and then the added pieces in there to kind of make that the salary work right there. So to me, that's what this looks like. It looks like a shortening of a commitment to a high-level guard. Right, or to a guy that's going to share, that's going to have a lot of usage as a guard, right? So Poole, they was under contract for multiple seasons, and is going to dominate the basketball. They found he was much better with the ball in his hands, moving him off the ball, letting Kuzma create 2 years ago. Didn't really work particularly well for him. Moving him back to point guard, putting him in the starting lineup, he played pretty well to his credit, and bought in and was a good citizen. Less so the unserious player that he was for a time, where he's not in timeouts, not listening, sort of, you know, acting buffoonishly, locked in much better last year. But this, to me, is about shortening the window of salary. And I wonder if it's a precursor to you for who they might be looking at tomorrow.
Well, I would say that somebody who's going to have the ball in his hands and can shoot, you know, a guard who can fill it up from outside, like a Trey Johnson who we were just talking about, makes even more sense now, right? Because just from a sheer quantity of shots available standpoint, Poole leaving is a big, big deal, right? Nobody is more ball dominant when he's on the floor and kind of demands, maybe not verbally, but by way of how he plays, more looks and more shots. You mentioned Kelly Olynyk. It's a two-year deal, $26 million for him, an average of about $13 million per. But you're bringing in expiring contracts. You got out of 2 years of Poole. He makes $31 million, which is about even, by the way,
with McCollum,
with what C.J. McCollum makes. Mm-hmm. He makes 30.6. But his deal ends this year. So you now go into next offseason with $30 million more in flexibility and ability to spend. And then you bring in Olynyk as well. Say, this reminds me a little bit of Marcus Smart, where they go get these veterans and everyone's going, this doesn't seem like you're tanking. What is the point of this? Well, everything in the NBA is about flexibility and getting out of contracts, right? So whereas Jordan Poole, much younger than McCollum, had 1 year left on the deal, now at age 34, C.J. McCollum, who by my understanding on the outside looking in has long been considered one of the better locker room guys in the NBA anyway, you bring him in here for his maiden voyage, assuming he's on the team all year, and he plays at that rate. Olynyk, by the way, is going into what is the final year of his two-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So both of these deals come off the books. Huge flexibility at the end of this year. The reaction is going to be, who does this benefit? This is the most NBA thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just rearranging
everybody's
money, basically,
in everyone's in different places for it. So Chris Middleton opts in to his player option, I believe, at $33 million, which is steep. But again, that's the last year for him. Last year now for McCollum. Last year for Olynyk. It tells you, like, if you ever see somebody gear up for that high jump at the NFL Combine or that broad jump, this is your gearing down, bending your knees, that butt's just off the ground, and you're getting ready to do a watch what we do next offseason. That's what these moves, rearranging some of the contracts and furniture, looks like to me. It's a, we want to have every resource available, dollar, draft pick, whatever, to have the ultimate flexibility next year. That's what this looks like to me.
Wizards fans, we were teeing you up to talk draft tomorrow. You still can. But more timely now, what a trade. On the move, Jordan Poole out. You've got veterans in C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk coming back. What do you make of a massive shift in direction here for the Wizards, it would appear? And what does this mean for the next 24 hours? You can call us at 800-636-1067. We'll get deeper into this next right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Huge D.C. sports news today. Just breaking a few minutes ago, a day ahead of the NBA draft, the Wizards are hard at work. Will Dawkins and his front office pulling off a trade. Jordan Poole is on the move to New Orleans. 2 years left on Poole's deal at $30-plus million per. The Wizards getting C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk back in a package. Both of those guys with expiring deals. Want to get some insight on maybe what the thinking is and what we should recall about Poole's 2 years when it's all said and done and the dust settles now. So David Aldridge of The Athletic joins us, a Hall of Famer covering the association for many, many years with Turner Sports. DA, you know, when something big happens with the Wiz in the NBA, we want to come to you first. So your thoughts on this, a day ahead of the draft, Jordan Poole traded in a pretty significant move for Washington.
Grant, it's like I just saw you. I can't. It's amazing.
Are you guys still? Are you at the same place still, DA?
I don't know.
And by the way, DA,
like
the Wizards, the Wizards couldn't have been further from our mind at our meeting today.
Yeah, no, they couldn't have been. Look, not am I shocked? No. I mean, look, I think Jordan did a really good job of kind of rehabbing himself in Washington. You know, when he got here 2 years ago, he was still kind of a wounded person, I think. You know, I don't think we can really say with certainty how damaged he was by the whole Draymond Green incident. You know, his last year at Golden State, I think it really took him a year really to kind of get back on his feet as a person. Forget the basketball, as a human being. Like, I really think he was shook by it, you know? And so the first year was terrible. He was awful the first year, you know? And they benched him, and that didn't make any sense either because you just traded for a guy who's got a $100 million contract and you're playing him behind Tyus Jones. That doesn't make any sense at all, right? Like, so they did the right thing. They put him back in the starting lineup. And I thought last year JP actually had a very credible season as a basketball player. You know, he shot it better than he shot it in a while. He tried to defend. He moved the ball. He was a good teammate. You know, he was a good teammate the whole time he was here. But I think he spoke with more authority, you know, coming in as the starter last year at the point for a team that was struggling and had a bunch of young guys on it. I thought he never let go of the rope in that sense, right? But, look, he's 27 years old. Nobody – you know, this is not where he wants to spend the rest of his career. You know, I think we all understood that. So it was really just a matter of would there be a deal either this summer or next summer that made sense for the Wizards? And as you guys mentioned, the important thing with CJ and with Olynyk is expiring contracts. That's the most important thing. It makes the Wizards in the summer of 2026 a team that might be able to do some things, whether that's free agency or trades or a combination of those things, if they feel like they need to goose this rebuild, right? So we've already taken a big step back in terms of their rebuild because they didn't get a top three pick in a year they were clearly tanking, right? So now you're going to try it again because you have to. You have to keep the pick. So you have to do it again, and let's see if they get better luck next year in the lottery, because if they don't, they will be under enormous pressure to kind of accelerate the rebuild. And the best way to do that is to have cap room that allows you to kind of absorb some big contracts or go after free agents that can allow you to sign players that might help you get this thing rolling a little bit better.
Yeah, David, you touched on it. The cap room seems to be at a premium here. So my back of the napkin math, Middleton opts into his player option, $33 million and change. Then you've got $13 million from Kelly Olynyk coming off after this season. Then the 30 for McCollum and 21 for Marcus Smart. You're basically talking about close to $100 million in cap space with a nice kind of young core of young players that I think they're into, and you know, another year of development and growth. The idea to me is try to you know, I'm thinking about this, newly divorced. I'm trying to make myself as sexy as possible, right? For the dating apps. It's kind of what it looks like, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, please understand what I'm about to say, because I know people are going to take this and go, he's comparing him to Oklahoma City. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that Oklahoma City found and identified a core group of young guys that they felt good about building around. And they always rolled their cap space over until there was a veteran worth going after. And they did that last summer with Isaiah Hartenstein, right? Like, they found, they said, we've got SGA, we've got Chet Holmgren, we've got Lou Dort, we've got these guys that we like, and we've got all this cap space, but we need something else. We need another piece to kind of get us to the next level, and Hartenstein came in and really helped them win the championship this year. So I think the Wizards are in a similar vein their players aren't as good, right? I understand that. Please do not clip this off and say Aldridge is comparing the Wizards to the Thunder. What I'm saying is they can have an opportunity, like Oklahoma City did, to enhance a young core that needs a real veteran that can grow with them and play with them. And I think that's what they're setting themselves up to potentially do in the summer of 26.
David Aldridge with us from The Athletic on Grant and Danny. D.A., it can't be a coincidence that this happened one day ahead of the draft just because, you know, business is booming right now. Everybody's making moves. That said, sure. How related to what happens tomorrow for the Wizards is this deal, if at all? Does this, like, as you're guessing what they do or mocking their number six overall pick, does this factor in at all?
Somewhat. I mean, I think first and foremost, they traded Denny Avdia for a reason. And the reason was Bob Carrington. That's who they wanted. That's the guy they wanted in the last year's draft. Like, they had the second pick, and they would make a pick at commensurate with being that high in the draft. But the draft for them was really about getting Bob Carrington. That's the guy they think has a chance to be special and be a star and all those things. He plays point guard. So you can't have Jordan Poole stopping up 30 minutes a game or, you know, going forward again next year if Bob Carrington's your guy. And I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he hadn't had a chance to find out yet. So you gotta give him the ball and see what he can do as your lead guard, as your point guard, you know, going forward for the foreseeable future. So that certainly makes sense. I'm not saying that means there's no chance they would take Jeremiah Fears. Mm-hmm. They like him. I think they do like him. And he does have some talent. I just don't think he fits what they have said is important to them in terms of building a roster, which is with size, length, defense, switchability. Those are things that are kind of their non-negotiables when it comes to bringing people in. And Jeremiah Fears is a terrific offensive player. I think he's got a chance to be a star. But he's not a great defensive player. I don't think anybody is going to make that argument right now. And he is little. He's small. And this league is not going towards small point guards. It's going towards 6'4", 6'5", point guards like Bob Carrington, for example. So I think that, yes, that these things are intertwined as this team kind of restructures itself. And, I don't know if they're going to keep CJ or if they're going to try to move him. I don't think he starts. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you're going with the young guys. Okay, that's a strategy. Nothing wrong with it. Well, you can't then just give CJ McCollum 34 minutes and 20 shots a game. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense, right? So my guess is I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the roster at the start of the season, or if he is on the roster, it won't be as a starter. That's my guess. That doesn't mean I'm right, but it doesn't make sense otherwise.
The great David Aldridge with us here on Grant and Danny. So that's what I was going to where I was going to go with that, David. What's the most likely outcome there? And maybe walk us through that, right? Where is it? Let's give him a chance, half season to build his value, kind of what they did with Kuzma, get what we can at the deadline, let him languish on the bench. Not a great choice of words by me, but then take the cap space at the end, spin him before the season starts. Where do you see this going and kind of what's best?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be any of those things. I mean, my guess is, I think they'll move smart. I don't think it doesn't make any sense to have Marcus on this team going forward. It just doesn't make any sense. It has nothing to do with him. He's a good player. I think he still can help a contending team. He doesn't want to be here. He wants to be on a contending team. So I think they move him. I think they'll keep Middleton, actually, because I think they do see a role for him that sort of makes sense. So they've got some things that they have to do. But in terms of CJ, I mean, again, I would think, what happens is they will say, look, we'd like you to come off the bench. We'd like you to be a good example. And we will do everything we can to get you out of here by February. You know, just try to be a good citizen while you're here. And CJ's a class act, a quality guy. He's president of the Players Association. You know, like, he is not a guy that needs a lot of attention. Okay. You don't have to like hold his hand. He's a professional. If he does say, hey, I can do that for 6 months, he'll be nothing but professional while he's here. He'll set a great example for the younger guys. But again, long term, it doesn't make any more sense to keep him here than it made to keep Jordan Poole here, to keep Marcus Smart here. Like, that's not the direction this franchise is going in.
David Aldridge, just a couple of moments left with the Hall of Famer talking hoops here on Grant and Danny. DA, specific to the draft tomorrow night and having the sixth pick, so yep. Two-parter for you. You're so plugged in on everything going on around the league. Ace Bailey, is yeah. this a malcontent that they need to avoid, or is this just a guy trying to angle to a certain organization? Because those are very different things. And then number two, on Trey Johnson, I'm very casual observer and kind of get in here in the last month and read and study and whatever else. I love him.
Yeah.
What kind of fit would he be, and why isn't he in the mix earlier up the board than he is? Why do people think he might be there for them at six?
Well, this is the lying season, guys. So everybody's lying, no matter, you know, your most trusted source is being lied to 75% of the time right now by whomever they are talking to. So don't worry about what mock drafts say. Trey Johnson could go third, he could go fourth, he could go fifth, he could go sixth. It just sort of depends on what Philly does at three. That kind of starts the ball rolling. Are they going to keep the pick? You know, if they keep the pick, I don't think – it does not make a lot of sense to me for them to take Trey Johnson when you have, you know, two really good young guards that both are kind of ball-dominant guards, you know, to bring a third in. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but, you know, somebody could trade up to three with the intention of taking Trey Johnson. He would be a great fit in Washington. I think he would be a terrific fit. Again, if you're going forward in your backcourt in 2 years is Bob Carrington and Trey Johnson, I'd like to see that backcourt play 65 games together and see how good they could be. You know, like, that has a chance to be pretty good, I think. So, he's there. He's in the mix. I think at that position, Knuppel is in the mix there somewhere. Edgecombe's in the mix there somewhere. Fears is in the mix there somewhere. I think Malawach is in the mix there somewhere. I would not be shocked if they took Malawach. I mean, I'd be a little surprised, but would I be stunned? No, because the league's going towards two bigs. You just saw Oklahoma City, for yep. example, again, do that. And Cleveland does it. A lot of teams are going to two bigs now. So it wouldn't shock me if they went with Malawach and move Sarr to the four. It's probably Sarr's best position in the league anyway. You know, if you're projecting out and you think, what is he going to be in 4 or 5 years? Maybe he's a stretch four. You know, like he showed that he can make that shot. It's not like he can't do it. And he showed that he's not probably going to be the greatest interior low post defender in the world. So get a guy that can do that and free him up to do other things. So I think those 4 or 5 guys in some order are in the mix. I know they've been trying to move up. I don't know that they can get there. By tomorrow, I could be wrong, but I think that they are reasonably comfortable being at six and seeing which one of those guys falls to them. Again, other than Fears, just because I don't think he fits them in terms of what they say they value, any of those other guys could be drafted and they would be happy with them, I think.
David, nobody better. Really appreciate the time here on short notice, bud. Thank you.
Okay. My pleasure, guys.
And it's been too long. We should hang out at some point. I haven't seen you in ages.
You guys seen each other?
David Aldridge, the Hall of Famer, here on Grant and Danny. If you're just jumping in the car and you're just wondering, why are these guys talking about a Wizards trade? Well, minutes ago, within the last half hour or so, Jordan Poole moved. He is being traded to New Orleans. The Wizards getting back C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk in the package. Both of those guys with expiring deals. So you look now at the money coming off the books for the Wizards in short order here. It is an expansive list. Chris Middleton, $33 million. C.J. McCollum, $30 million. Olynyk at $13 million. Marcus Smart over $20 million. Rashawn Holmes, close to $15 million. They are going to have more money than they know what to do with.
$110 million
ideally
bucks.
At that yep. time. I mean, $110 million, Danny, is the number. And then you've got this young core that might be fun to play with, that might be enticing, right? We got right now guys like Ace Bailey who are saying no to three teams, saying yes to Washington. So who knows what that looks like with money to throw around in the near future. That's pretty interesting. All right, double play is next, and we'll get more on this right at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. You're listening to The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Already big into, welcome back Grant and Danny on The Fan. I was already big into the trade of Jordan Poole to just free up money and create flexibility. But when David Aldridge starts talking about how much the guys in that front office think Bubb's the future star point guard and they want him to get a chance, and Poole being around sopping up 30 to 35 minutes a night doesn't really allow him to take hold of the offense and the operation, and this is a move made to clear the way for Bubb Carrington, I get really, really excited, because at his age, with what he showed last year, he could actually be a star that they unearthed. And I didn't realize, but DA said basically, you know, saw it too. They were excited about that, but their whole draft revolved around them being able to go get Bubb Carrington, which they pulled off. And now this move in his mind is largely about kind of taking the leash off him, so to speak, and allowing him to, you know, go explore the space on his own.
It makes sense to me. I mean, there's only one basketball, right? The same way we talk about there's only one football, but that's dominated by the quarterback, right? Where that guy's going to, you know, give the touches out to the running backs, the tight ends, the receivers, et cetera, and who commands the most. But for basketball, the quarterback is also the point guard who's shooting and rebounding and running the court and doing everything else. And usage rate is a huge deal. How you divvy up who's using the possession, that is the shot, the miss, the turnover, whatever it is, who's the guy that's got the ball in his hands the most? And if you've got Jordan Poole, it has to be him. They tried it for a year to see if he could play off the ball to entice somebody to go, let's go bring in Jordan Poole. This is what I think. I haven't talked to anybody, but this is my hypothesis. Let's let Jordan Poole play off the ball, show that he can do it, and then spin him to a contender who goes, what a great six man, what a guy that can play in a lot of starting lineups and play well off the ball, and it was a disaster. So they said, okay, we'll put the ball back in his hands, have every possession dominated by the guy. And again, to his credit, played well and scored the ball really, really well, as efficient as he's done it in a long time. But that means inherently you're not using Keshawn George in possessions as often. You're not having Alex Saar involved in as many actions or letting Bubb Carrington create in the half court or otherwise. There's always going to be opportunities with rebounds and runouts and, you know, kind of going full court in the way that they play. But I'm talking about those kind of key possessions. You're not having Bubb Carrington use the possession near as often when you have Jordan Poole. He casts a large shadow in that way.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Real quick before we get to our double play. When asked about tomorrow's draft, Aldridge said something that I've been trying to connect the dots on here. I asked him about Trey Johnson, and he said he didn't think he was really a fit for the Wizards, I'm paraphrasing, because they've got two young guards they really like who are somewhat ball dominant. Obviously, Bubb Carrington's one of them, and I'm trying to figure out who the other is. Is he referencing A.J. Johnson, who after coming over from Milwaukee last year got 27 minutes a game? I was thinking maybe Keshawn George as a two, who's more, I would think, of like a swing three.
Yeah, he's less positioned now. This is the NBA, right?
But he's not – is he – A.J. Johnson, and I like his game a lot. I mean, I was excited about how he finished last year. He's an awesome prospect. But I can't possibly not take, say, a Trey Johnson because I want to see what kind of development I can do with A.J. Johnson, right? I mean, who's the other guard that I'm not thinking of that he was referencing?
So it may be Keshawn George. honestly, because remember, he grew up as a point guard and was a point guard until he grew too damn tall, and then they kind of got moved off the ball
in
college.
But isn't he a small forward? Or I guess it's positionless enough now that he plays the two a lot.
I mean, he's listed as a two or a three or a wing, just sort of depends. But, you know, this is kind of the way, the Oklahoma City way, and I hate to just keep evoking it, but you do have that intimate connection there with Dawkins kind of having cut his teeth in that front office, where your three for Oklahoma City is probably shorter than your two, because it's Lucas Dort, and he doesn't look like everybody else. Like, he's a brick house, and he's going to, you know, out-physical you, and you're going to switch on everything anyway, you know, with a lot of the defensive alignment. So George is, you know, 6'6", 6'7", so he can be the two-on-one possession, but as your lineups are changing, Carrington was the two sometimes, he's the one-and-a-half, or, you know, this guy's going to initiate the offense, and when Koulibaly's healthy, he's a two, three, and a four in a small ball lineup. So you're starting to see that. So I think maybe he was referencing George upon further review, talking about David Aldridge a minute ago.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We do it each day right now on Grant and Danny at 9:45. The segment is brought to you by the local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
JB, I saw this story and I thought of myself. There was a flight from Tokyo back to the United States. A tour group, or a group that was there together, had kind of this odd situation where a toddler had the middle seat. The mother of the toddler had the middle seat behind the toddler, and a woman, minding her business, had a window seat. She was asked by the mother, "Will you switch seats with me for this flight from Japan all the way back to the United States so I could sit next to my toddler?" And the woman responded, "No, I'm not doing that." And then, this is where she loses me a little bit, goes on to post on Reddit or wherever people, you know, shout to the heavens or whatever place that they need to post these sorts of deals, the story. And then kind of how indignant she was that she was even asked to take an inferior seat so that a mother and this toddler could sit next to each other. And her point was, it's not my fault you didn't book very well. You're also part of a group. Ask one of the people in the group to switch up with you, right? I don't know you. And we're flying, whatever it is, 9, 10, 15, 20, 30 hours around the globe to get back home. I'm not switching my window seat for your inferior middle seat just so you could sit next to your kid. You messed up, not me. Leave me alone. I tag you it.
Well, obviously, I would accommodate the family as often as I could as a family man myself who's understanding and has empathy. I think I would accommodate the family way more often than my pal Danny Ruye.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of had me saying no at Japan, if you know what I mean. That's a long damn flight. I don't know how long we're talking, but that's 14 hours of travel or whatever that is, depending on where they're connecting through. So I'm going to have to say no, and especially if there's a group. This seems like something you guys can solve among yourselves. I mean, if the kid is unruly and crying and needs mom or dad or whatever, I could even take some spells in the middle, as long as you're willing to work with me on that a little bit. I'll let you come sit with the kid and calm them down and hang out for a few hours here and there. But over the next dozen hours or whatever we're doing, I can't just be sitting middle the entire time. I'm going to have to get my space that I had reserved at some point. But so my guess is there's no negotiation ever. You're just not moving.
That's right. So this also brings up an interesting thing that's happening more and more with the planes now. Having just booked a flight to Scotland for my son and I at the end of this summer. So they're very, you know, I found places for us to sit together because obviously we're going to do that. But long and short, every seat basically costs a different amount. So if I'm paying more for a seat and you're asking me to swap, I'm not doing that probably because I probably paid $75 more than you so I could sit next to my son or whatever the case may be. That's a new thing to consider.
That is a good point. I mean, that is, to me, way low down the board because, you know, if I spent $23 more on a seat or something, so what? I mean, really, it's about the lack of space. It's about how annoying it is to sit in the middle with people on either side of you. But there are people, I think you're right, that will probably keep score of, well, the seats on the aisle were 96 and the seats in the middle were 42. So, you know, vice versa, whatever it is, that because I spent more, now you owe me some money. For me, it's literally just about the space. Let's get to the Blitz next, though. We got a lot of ground to cover. The Nationals James Wood hit another home run last night. The Wizards just made a huge trade. And the Commanders, all coming up on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.